This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada has been making its way across the country, collecting more than 3,000 personal statements from Aboriginal residential school survivors. Chief Wilton Littlechild, who is one of the commissioners, has said that residential schools operated in Canada for well over a century. In the same way, the reconciliation process will have to span generations. It will take time to reestablish respect. It will take time and commitment to reverse this legacy. Colleen Simard is a writer and columnist for the Winnipeg Free Press and is of Ojibwe, French, Cree, and Swedish ancestry. Colleen recently shared her reflections about the intergenerational effects of residential schools in a column called Reconciliation is a Personal Journey. We're joined now on the phone by Colleen Simard.
Welcome to People First Radio, Colleen.
Hi, glad to be here.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada has been hearing statements from thousands of residential school survivors across the country. What are your thoughts about the commission's work and what has happened so far?
I think it's great. I mean, the more awareness that's out there, the better. You know, it's not something that's, you know, just for Aboriginal people. I think it's for all Canadians to understand and make sense of. You know, a lot of people have never heard about residential schools, and it's part of our shared history, and it's a sad chapter, but it needs to be told.
In your recent column in the Winnipeg Free Press, you wrote that residential schools have always been a tough subject matter for you to write about. Why is that?
I just think, like, because of a from a personal point of view, I mean, I've been writing my column for 8 years, and, you know, I've written about residential schools maybe a handful of times. You know, a lot of times I felt like I didn't have the knowledge, or because I hadn't experienced it firsthand, maybe I didn't know a lot about it. But, you know, as time goes on and as you get older and you reflect upon things, you kind of start to understand why things are the way they are, and understand your family and maybe some of the dysfunction that's there. And it's not to blame residential schools, but it's to understand and, you know, you move forward. You're always moving forward. But to understand that makes things a lot more, it makes it a lot better for the future.
I'm going to quote a short paragraph from your column. Sure, I grew up without my language and cultural knowledge, but what was worse was growing up seeing so many abusive relationships and having parents who didn't know how to show affection. It was only later in life when I became an adult that we've learned to say we love each other, but it wasn't their fault. Tell us more about that whole dynamic.
You know, I didn't have the best time growing up, like a lot of people, you know, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. Just now is, you know, the last, you know, into adulthood is when you start to understand what went on and why things were the way they were. And, you know, you become closer. You start to understand. I think even my own parents were pretty young when they had me, so it was hard for them to understand, you know, why are we, you know, caught up in these abusive cycles because we don't understand them. So it's been tough, but it's good. I mean, it's good to understand it all, I guess, as a family and come to grips with it and work towards being healthy. I mean, if you ignore the negative and you don't look at it, you know, how can you ever become a healthy person?
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada was created as part of the 2007 Indian Residential Schools Settlement Agreement to inform all Canadians about the legacy of Indian residential schools. The commission hopes to inspire a process of reconciliation and renewed relationships based on mutual understanding and respect. The commission's interim report, which is called They Came for the Children, was released in February 2012. The commission has found that residential schools constituted an assault on Aboriginal children, families, self-governing, Aboriginal nations, and culture. The impacts of the residential school system were immediate and have been ongoing since the earliest years of schools. We're joined on the phone by Colleen Simard, a writer and columnist with the Winnipeg Free Press.
Colleen, your column on this topic was titled Reconciliation is a Personal Journey. Tell us more about that, what you meant by that.
I think what I was saying was, you know, I think a lot of the times I've felt distance from residential schools as well, because it happened a few generations ago in my family. But it's over time that I've grown to understand that it did affect me in a lot of ways. There were all these after effects, all these aftershocks that kind of come through your family and affect you. And it's important to understand where that is and to kind of reconcile yourself. You know, nobody can teach reconciliation on a grand scale. It always has to come from within you. It has to always be your journey and your personal reconciliation. So I'm really happy to kind of come to that understanding. And I think other people can find that too. You know, not just Aboriginal people, but non-Aboriginal people as well. You know, it's not about carrying guilt, and it's not about pain, and it's not about, you know, all the negatives. It's about moving forward and working to be a happy, healthy person.
You draw a direct line between the residential schools and addictions issues in Aboriginal communities. Tell us more about that.
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of reading and research and just personal, you know, personal stories, my own family. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we have addictions issues, there's something behind that. You know, there's some emptiness inside of us that we need to fill. If it's, you know, a past abuse that we've never really recovered from, you know, and I think that's why we, you know, in the Aboriginal community, we have a lot of addictions issues. Because, you know, we're not dealing with that that wound that's inside there, you know. And I think it's important to deal with those things. You know, we've got this epidemic. And it's going to take many years, you know. It might take a few generations for us to all, you know, be as strong and large a force as we were, you know, before residential schools. But it's happening.
We can hear your baby daughter in the background.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to keep her entertained.
Yeah. And in fact, you write in your column today, I sometimes sit and watch my baby daughter play. I wonder how hard it must have been for parents to let their children go off to a residential school at 4 years old. How could they go on living?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shocks me to no end. You know, how could you have your, you know, you're raising your children and all of a sudden, you know, it's time to go to residential school, you know, and you get to see them every summer, and that's pretty bittersweet, I think, you know, and it's just, how could you go on living, you know? I don't know what I would do with myself. Honestly, I'd probably have a nervous breakdown, you know, to lose my children.
A few moments ago, you talked about the several generations to come that may be required for our communities, our country, your various peoples to work through these wounds. And you've written also, before there can be reconciliation, there has to be grieving. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, and what would that look like?
Well, I think the Truth and Reconciliation Commission is really doing some of that work as well, because they're the ones that are asking these people to bring up these memories, you know, that they've kept bottled up for, you know, maybe 50 years. And they're speaking publicly about these things. It takes a lot of bravery to come out with these stories, these really horrific stories, some of them, and that's part of the grieving process. You know, you have to acknowledge that these things happened. You have to let them out. You can't keep them inside. You have to share and let go.
Colleen Simard, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I'd say, you know, one of the points I made in the column was, you know, try listen to at least one story. You know, it's a very difficult thing to hear these stories, but it's really important to hear them. You know, if you can hear one story and understand, you know, it makes things a lot easier for everyone.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Miigwech.
Colleen Simard is of Ojibwe, French, Cree, and Swedish ancestry. She was brought up in Winnipeg and in northern Manitoba. Colleen is a writer and a columnist for the Winnipeg Free Press. She lives in Winnipeg's North End. You can find out more about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada at trc.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.